Well, Gene Foy is back with us from the Massachusetts Public Interest Research Group to tell us a little bit about what that organization is, about what it does, how it might be able to help you. And she's also here to quiz me about consumer issues. So, Gene, great to see you again, first of all.
Good to see you again, too. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. You're the director of the Weymouth office of MassPIRG, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, MassPIRG is a public interest research group that advocates and proposes legislation to protect consumer interests in the Commonwealth. And they run the Local Consumer Program, which is a private nonprofit consumer advocacy group that's funded by the Attorney General's office.
Okay.
And so we handle complaints for the Attorney General's office.
Right, kind of an extension of
yes.
them,
the yes.
first line of defense, I guess, or information for people, right?
Right, yeah. So we handle 20 towns on the South Shore,
okay.
all the way up to like the Wellesley-Newton area.
Okay.
And if a consumer files a complaint with the Attorney General's office and they live in our 20 towns that we handle, in most instances it'll be sent to our office to try to advocate for that consumer and help them resolve their problem.
Before it goes any further, right?
Right. Yes, yes.
Nip it in the bud, as it were. Before
that's what we try to do. We try
action.
To get it resolved without the need to litigate.
Yeah. So are there MassPIRG offices all over the state?
No.
No.
I mean... That's a tricky. So MassPIRG is located in Boston,
mm-hmm.
and they do have different student PIRGs on the college campuses, but my office is kind of an anomaly. The Attorney General's office has this local consumer program. It's been in existence for 50 years this year, and they have 18 programs around the state, but they're run by different agencies. So the City of Cambridge has one. The City of Boston has one. Trying to think what other agencies. United Way has one in Brockton. So different nonprofit agencies or state or government agencies can apply for the grant to run a program at their local level.
Okay.
So MassPIRG just has one, and we're located in Weymouth.
Okay. How long has the Weymouth one been around, do you know?
We have been around since 1989.
Wow.
And just to like give you some numbers,
mm-hmm.
We have helped over, we've handled over 22,000 complaints since we've been in existence,
wow.
and we've got back over $6 million in goods and services and refunds for consumers.
That's amazing.
Yeah. We handle a lot of complaints. We get about 100 a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you say we, is it you and a staff, or is
so
it?
So I do have a part-time assistant director that
okay.
works with me. So the two of us handle the complaints. In the past, we have had volunteers and interns. But at the moment, it's a staff of two.
Wow. Okay. So do your referrals, your cases, come from the Attorney General's office mostly, or do you get kind of walk-ups, if you will?
We get it all.
Really?
The majority of our complaints come from the Attorney General's
sure.
office.
Yeah.
We get referrals from the Better Business Bureau.
Mm.
We get referrals from other local consumer programs. We get referrals from our community partners like the Council on Aging
mm-hmm.
or the veterans, the libraries.
Mm.
We have our information out everywhere.
Okay.
So, sometimes people hear of us through word of mouth. Sometimes they see our posters. Maybe they've attended one of my speaking engagements.
Mm.
So they come from all over. But the bulk of the actual written complaint
mm-hmm.
comes from the Attorney General's office.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Who can't you help, Gene? When is there a case that can't be helped by MassPIRG?
Sure. That's a good question. We handle any type of consumer complaint,
okay.
which means it needs to be a consumer, a private individual against a merchant. We don't handle complaints against government agencies.
Okay.
We don't handle business-to-business complaints.
Okay.
We don't handle neighbor disputes or private party.
Mm-hmm.
If you bought a car from me,
mm-hmm.
You couldn't file a complaint against me. I couldn't get involved in that. It has
gotcha.
To be a merchant. We also don't handle complaints that have been litigated or the person has an attorney representing them.
Oh, good to know.
So that's
okay.
pretty much it.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Earlier this month, and I guess every March, there's a week set aside for consumer awareness?
Yep, every first week in March is National Consumer Protection Week.
Okay.
A lot of the consumer agencies will do a big push to get out there to remind people of their rights as a consumer, the resources that are available to them. MassPIRG does a lot that week, and I think that probably, we got together because you might have got one of our mailings just reminding people it's a National Consumer Protection Week. Here's what we can do to help you out.
Yeah. No, actually, it was because we missed you, Jane. We wanted to have you back. But because you're really the only agency in this area, 20-town area, right, it's a great opportunity to let folks know about Mass Story.
It is a perfect opportunity.
Yeah. And something a little new that you thought up this time around was a consumer quiz, right, to kind of test my knowledge and our viewers' knowledge of what their rights are when it comes to their consumer issues.
I thought it would be fun to change it up a little bit. And sometimes when we go out to a speaking engagement, we will run a quiz so that people can talk about a wide variety of issues. Mm. I try to hit on, you know, all the kind of things that we handle.
Yeah.
And anyone who's watching it, definitely, you know, try to guess along and we'll talk about whether the answer was true or false and why.
No, I think it's a great way to learn, you know, certainly.
Yeah, it can be, for sure.
It is by answering questions, right, whether you get them right or wrong.
Right, right.
You can explain why that is. Now, full disclosure, I did receive the questions in advance. However, I did not look up the answers. So when Jean quizzes me today, this is going to be, you know, unrehearsed, as it were. So we'll see how I do and in turn how you folks do as well. So please follow along. Okay, I'm
ready.
All
right, are we ready? We're going to start with some automotive questions.
Probably one of the biggest issues, right?
It is one of the biggest issues that we get. One, because people buy cars all the time.
Right.
They own them, they lease them, they fix them. But also, my area covers the auto mile.
Okay. So of course, yeah.
I get a lot of auto complaints.
Okay.
So the first one is, a motor vehicle sales contract in Massachusetts can be canceled within 3 business days if the consumer changes his or her mind. True or false?
I'm going to say that's true.
It is not.
It is not?
It is false.
Really?
And that is...
I'm off to a great start.
And you know what? I started with this one because it's one of the biggest common misconceptions that consumers have.
Oh.
There's no automatic right to cancel an auto sales contract. Once you sign that contract, you have agreed to purchase the car.
Okay.
So, you know, you want to make sure that, one, you really do want to buy the car.
Yes.
Oftentimes when you sign the contract, you also leave a deposit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a block on that contract that if you initial it and it's checked off, and you don't go forward with the deal, they can keep your deposit.
Okay.
So we recommend that people put the smallest amount of deposit down as possible.
Okay.
Dealers try to get the largest amount.
Sure.
I would recommend something that you don't mind losing, maybe the cost of dinner out or, you know, the lowest amount you can do. We've seen ones where people have left $5,000 and then for whatever reason they decide they don't want to buy the car. Maybe they saw it advertised at a cheaper price someplace else. But it's binding. There are a few dealers that might have their own rules about that where they'll allow you to change your mind. But if they do, read those terms and make sure you understand them.
Okay.
The 3-day right to rescind is only available in very limited circumstances. Health club contracts, contracts that are signed at your home or at a place that's not a business's regular place of business, like a home show, and then mortgage refinancing.
Okay.
So it's a very limited right.
All right, so read your contract carefully before you sign it.
That's right, don't leave a deposit unless you really want to buy that car. Don't be pressured into leaving a deposit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, strike one.
That's okay, the biggest misconception.
Oh, at least I'm like everybody else. Okay.
In Massachusetts, automobile dealers are allowed to sell vehicles as is, as long as it's disclosed to the potential buyer.
True.
It's false.
It's strike two.
So dealers have to give a written warranty when they sell you a car. If the car is less than $700 or it has more than 125,000 miles. So that you actually get in Massachusetts a written warranty for 30, 60, 90 days based on the mileage of the vehicle.
Okay.
Anything that's not falling in that perimeter comes with what's called an implied warranty, which means that the car is going to operate as a car of that age and mileage should.
Hmm.
A dealer can't tell you, no, you're buying it as is. I'm going to take $1,000 off and you can't come back here with any problems. It's not true. They have to take responsibility for things that shouldn't occur when you buy the car.
Right.
They also, the car has to pass the vehicle inspection.
Sure.
So if it doesn't pass that, you have a right, if the cost of fixing it exceeds 10% of the purchase price, you have a right to get your money back on that.
Okay.
So there are, they can't sell it as is.
Okay.
If
what
a
about
dealer an, tries to do that, walk away.
That's a red flag. What about in a private transaction?
So
can you sell it as is in a private transaction?
So a private party, the inspection law still applies.
Okay.
But they can sell you a car as is, but they need to disclose all known defects. So
okay.
If you were going to sell a car to someone, I would suggest that you know, anything you know is wrong with
yep.
the car.
Disclose that.
Write it down
yep.
on the paper.
Okay.
You know, brakes, you know, are worn.
Okay.
Tires may need to be replaced. And then you can sell it because you're a private party.
Okay.
Yep.
All righty. Let's try again. Let's try again.
All right. Here's another auto one. If you buy a used car today, and the inspection sticker does not expire until July, you don't need to have it reinspected. True.
False. I'm saying
Yay.
That's false. I got one!
False, right.
Yeah.
Even if the inspection sticker is still valid, even if that person had it inspected or the dealer had it inspected, you know, the day before you bought it, you have to have it inspected under your own registration.
Okay.
And that is for your protection. Again, if it fails inspection, you have rights to return that car or get it fixed, so you always want to have it inspected.
Okay.
And you want to bring it to your own inspection station. Never let a used car dealer inspect the car for you.
They're biased. Let's face it.
Technically, they shouldn't be, but
well, right.
it's a better protection to bring it someplace.
Yeah, sure.
And have it
okay.
Done.
I got one.
Yay.
Excellent.
Oh, wait, I have some more.
Oh,
I didn't
good.
Realize I had more auto ones. If a Massachusetts resident purchases a car out of state, Massachusetts motor vehicle regulations would still apply to the purchase.
True.
False.
False?
Yes.
Really?
You're not protected by Massachusetts lemon laws if you buy the car out of state.
Oh.
Or if you buy the car online and you have it delivered someplace that's not in the state of Massachusetts.
Interesting. Okay.
So, yeah, the laws are applying to cars sold in Massachusetts.
In-state sales only.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
You know, we do get that. People will go to New Hampshire or Rhode Island
oh, sure.
to buy a car.
Yeah.
And then they want to apply Massachusetts lemon laws and they don't apply.
However, the state sales tax does apply.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and that state's laws would apply.
Okay. All right.
So,
all right. Okay.
You know, I don't know what they are,
right.
but they would.
They would have something. Okay.
Probably.
Okay. All right.
Probably. Not always.
Yeah.
Massachusetts has very strong consumer protection laws, so you can't assume that the other states are going to give you the same benefits.
Okay, so I'm batting one for a thousand.
We're
so
not
far.
Keeping track because you're learning.
I'm learning, exactly.
Learning.
Hopefully folks watching are too.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So this is an auto repair question, which we do get a lot of auto
okay.
repair issues. Massachusetts law allows auto repair shops to charge up to 10% over the estimated repair without getting the consumer's permission.
Yeah, when I read this, I said, wow, that's a tough one.
I'm going to give you a clue. It's a trick question.
It is a trick question?
A little bit.
Okay, so I'm going to say that's true.
It's false.
It's false?
It's $10. That's
oh, $10.
That's where the trick is.
Okay.
If it's going to be more than $10 of what they told you, they need to get your permission.
Oh, all
so
right.
So that's huge.
That is huge.
10% could be a lot more.
Yes.
So if they tell you it's going to be $1,000 to fix your brakes and it's going to be, you know, $1,050, they're supposed to call you up get your permission and let you know.
Just verbal permission? Just over the phone is okay?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's harder to prove that, but
yeah.
in a situation like that, I mean, I would think that if it was a larger amount, they'd probably want to send you something in writing.
True sign, yeah, okay.
You know, in most instances, it's just a courtesy
okay.
really, to make sure that no one's getting taken advantage of.
Okay.
All right, so let's move on to some retail
let's
questions.
Do that. Yeah. I failed miserably at automotive. I'm never buying a car again.
Okay, so retail stores in Massachusetts
yep.
are able to set any return policy they choose.
Wow.
True or false?
Oh, I'm going to say that's false. It's true, isn't it?
It is true.
It's true?
It is true. Now, though some of these, you know, I know they're true, false. I went with true, false because I think it's easier for this. Sometimes we do multiple choice.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking and reading them, that might be more helpful.
Okay.
It's true, but they have to disclose it to you.
Oh.
They can have any policy they want, all sales final, you know, cash refunds only,
yeah.
10 days before your check will be issued.
Yeah.
They can have any policy.
Restocking fees.
All of that, as long as it's disclosed. It needs to be disclosed in a clear and conspicuous manner.
Mm.
So there needs to be a sign somewhere where you can see it. And it needs to be disclosed before you purchase.
Okay.
But, you know, we'll tell consumers, they'll say, I didn't see the sign.
Right.
It's probably there.
Right.
If you don't see it, ask, or always ask. You know, I think that that's
what's your return policy?
Yeah, you can't assume that you can return something. And I think return policies are tightening up a lot now with the consumer market that we're in.
Yes.
Places where you used to be able to return within 30 days now have 14-day return policies.
Yes.
You know, they don't have to call you up and tell you, hey, by the way, our return policy changed. They could just change their signage. So always check, always ask, just so you know. It's heartbreaking when someone comes in and, you know, their husband bought them a beautiful piece of jewelry at a jewelry store that has all sales final, and they don't like it.
Or
and
doesn't
it was
fit
a lot
or something.
Of money.
Yeah, okay.
So ask, look, be aware of what you're
Especially for big ticket purchases,
Especially
right?
Especially for big ticket purchases,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're buying a pillow and you don't like it, oh well.
Yeah, I mean, you still may not want to keep that pillow.
No, well, true, yeah, okay.
In Massachusetts,
yep.
gift certificates must be valid for 7 years.
True.
Yay! It is true. Gift certificates have to be valid for 7 years. If there's no expiration date on the gift certificate or no disclosures, it's good forever.
Okay.
I will preface that with the fact that we encourage people to use their gift certificates as soon as possible. There's no guarantee that a business will still be in business 30 days from now.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Okay.
But, you know, that it was extended. It used to be 3 years. They extended to seven.
7 years.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
But
I use mine right away.
Okay. Yeah.
That way they don't get lost. That way the company doesn't go out of business. But 7 years.
I'm sure there are many lost gift cards from holidays that never get spent or stuffed in the back of a drawer somewhere.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Kind of sad.
Because it's money wasted.
It is money wasted.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's 7 years. Use it before 7 years.
So those are pretty easy, the retail ones. Well, you 50-50
on that? One out of two
on those. So internet. We're going to ask some internet questions,
and
I have full faith in you getting these
things
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Clicking on a pop-up ad is a safe way to explore new websites. True or false?
That's a big fat false.
clicking on those ads, clicking on unknown emails, they can lead you to potentially hazardous sites where your information, your computer could be hacked, your information could be stolen. They could try to entice you into giving personal information. So, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. I knew you'd get that one.
Yeah, that's, you know, red flags all around.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
And,
yeah.
you know, the internet ones seem obvious to us, but sometimes when you're online and you're shopping and something looks good, you give it a click.
Yeah, it's true.
Just don't.
So, or if you're in, maybe if you're interested in that product, go to that company's website
directly. Yes.
Right? Don't follow the pop-up ads.
That kind of leads into this next one, which I know you're going to get right.
Oh, okay.
Banks sometimes send emails asking their customers to click a link to verify personal information.
That is
false. It's very false.
Yeah.
Even if you think it's a legitimate email from your bank telling you that your account's been frozen because of suspicious activity or there's been a purchase that they want you to validate, do not click that link. They're not going to contact you that way.
Right.
Pick up the phone, look at the back of your credit card, look at your bank statement, call them, talk to them. In most instances, there's nothing at all wrong with your bank account. So just be leery of that. Not just bank accounts, but the IRS, government agencies, retailers, Amazon, you'll get them all the time. They're not real. But, you know, they'll say, the TV's being delivered to an address in Wyoming, and it's, you know, a
$3,000
TV.
Right. You know,
don't click on the link.
Yeah, just
verify it through a verifiable source.
So, and they come through text now as well.
They
as
do
emails.
Come through text now, yeah. They just more and more creative on how they're going to get us.
Yeah.
So be careful.
Okay.
Credit and debt. We do get credit and debt complaints in our office.
Yep.
You know, where a debt collector's calling someone or where there's a charge on someone's credit card that's not valid, we can help people resolve those complaints.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay.
So if unable to reach a debtor, a collector can call the employer of the person in question regarding the debt owed.
Yeah.
True or false?
So just call them, right? Nothing else.
Yep.
Just call the employer.
Yep.
I'm going to say it's true.
It's false.
It's false.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're not supposed to contact anybody other than you about a debt. And so, you know, if they do call your employer, they probably are just asking to talk to you. They're probably not disclosing that they're a debt collector.
Okay.
But you do have a right to stop those calls to your employer.
Okay.
By asking them to stop calling your employer.
Okay.
By sending them a letter telling them not to call your employer.
Okay.
Relative, whoever. You know, sometimes they'll say, well, we're just calling them because we're trying to locate you.
Right.
If they have your address and your phone number,
true.
Then that's not true and
okay.
they shouldn't be doing it.
Okay.
home improvement complaints.
A big topic, I bet, as well, huh?
It is.
Yeah.
I would say auto, yeah. home improvement, retail is probably the
big
order
three.
Of the complaints that
okay.
we get. And this one I put in here because it's something everybody should know.
Yeah.
You will be protected under the home improvement law only if your contractor is registered with the state. True or false?
True.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there is a program that's set up where home improvement contractors need to register with the state mm-hmm. and have what's called a home improvement contractor license.
Yeah.
It's a number.
Yep.
It should be on their business card. It should be on their contract. It should be on their trucks.
Yep.
It's supposed to be visible. As long as you hire a contractor that's registered with the home improvement contractor program, they were registered when you signed the contract.
Ah,
so
good point. Okay.
That's yep. something that you definitely want to check the number and make sure
yes.
that it's not expired.
Yep.
You have access to an arbitration program and a guarantee fund where you can have your hearing heard in front of an arbitration board,
yes.
which is cheaper, easier, quicker than going to court. And if you can get a judgment against this contractor and he doesn't pay it, you can apply to a guarantee fund and get up to $10,000 reimbursed.
Yep.
So it's huge.
It's very important, yeah.
It's very important to make sure. And it breaks my heart when someone calls me with a home improvement complaint and they're not a registered home improvement
mm-hmm.
contractor because
mm-hmm.
that avenue is now closed to you to use.
Right, and it's so easy to check. There's a database right on the state website.
Yep, yep.
Just look up the number
yep.
or even the name. But
right.
You can see if they're licensed.
You definitely can,
yep.
yes. It's very easy to use.
Yep. Okay. I got one. Got that
You've
one.
You've got more. All right, tenant rights.
Tenant rights. These are tough, yeah.
These are very tough.
Yeah.
And I just did a talk in Weymouth
mm-hmm.
On tenant rights. And there are so many things that don't even fall underneath the regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're hard
sure.
to handle. And it's people's home.
Well, this is it. This is, you know,
and,
yeah.
And that's too... So hard with like some of these issues.
And it's two people's homes, right? It's the owners and it's also the renters.
True.
You know?
So there's a balancing of rights.
It's tough, yeah.
And I talk about that and that's hard. It's
yeah.
hard to balance rights sometimes. I think I put easy questions on here
okay,
because like the tricky stuff, there aren't always answers to.
Right.
So the first one is one we get a lot of calls on.
I bet.
There are no restrictions on how much a landlord can raise your rent.
Mm.
True or false?
Wow, that's tough. True?
True.
It is true. They can do
true.
Whatever they want. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no rent control in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Right.
There's no limit on how much a rent can be raised. You know, there was a building locally that was doubling people's rents
yeah.
when they were renewing. I think they wanted to quickly get up to what they felt was the market rate.
Right.
It should be illegal, but it's not.
Right, yeah.
Maybe just more immoral.
Okay.
You know, it's just not nice to
right.
do that. So if you're a tenant at will, they can raise your rent at lease renewal. I mean, I'm sorry, if you're a tenant with a lease,
yep.
they can raise your rent at lease renewal. If you're a tenant at will, mm-hmm. they can raise your rent with 30 days notice
okay.
or one rental period in advance, whichever's longer.
Oh, all right.
They can do it more than once a year.
Is that right? Wow.
There's no restriction on it.
Okay.
So it's just, I've not heard of anyone doing that, but it is a possibility.
Okay.
So just something to keep in mind. I wish I could tell you that, you know, they can't raise your rent, but they can.
Yeah, it's the market mostly dictates probably, you know, what
yeah,
it does. Yeah,
that and greed.
yeah, yes.
Sometimes, I think.
Some of that too, yeah.
Landlords must keep security deposits in a separate interest-bearing account. True or false?
Interest-bearing account. Probably true.
It is true
yeah.
for your security deposit.
Yeah.
it has to be separate. It can't be commingled with their money or other people's money.
Okay.
When you give them the security deposit, within 30 days of you moving in, they're supposed to give you a receipt that mm-hmm. shows you where your money is located.
Mm-hmm.
You are entitled to interest every year. They could either deduct it from your rent or you can deduct it from your rent. Sometimes that doesn't happen. And when you move out, you know, they'll give you your interest. But they are supposed to pay interest on the security deposit. The last month's rent does not need to be in an interest-bearing account. It can be in an account. If it's paying you interest, you're supposed to get it. But if the account's not paying interest, which a lot of accounts, you know, aren't now. There's a lot of different accounts out there.
Oh, right. Yes.
You know, that you could choose to put the money in. Then you don't have to get interest on the last month's rent.
Just the last month's?
Just the last month. For the security deposit, you're entitled to interest on that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You're entitled to the initial security deposit back on the last month's rent?
So it depends.
Oh, okay, all right.
The security deposit is there. You are entitled to get it back within 30 days of moving out unless there's been damage.
Well, right, yeah.
That's more than normal wear and tear.
Yep.
Or there's rent payments that haven't been paid.
Okay.
If the landlord's going to keep the security deposit, they have to, within 30 days, provide you with a letter of why you're not getting all your money back and, you know, receipts of the reasons why.
Repairs that had to be had.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
yeah.
That can get into a gray area with litigation, I'm sure.
It can. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times the disputes that we get are that's not damage. That's normal wear and tear.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, we can try to work those out.
Okay. All right.
We ask for pictures. Well, you know,
yeah.
I mean, we can't tell them they have to give the money back or that they're wrong,
mm-hmm.
but we can say, oh, that doesn't really look like it needs to replace the entire account.
Right. This is negotiations, right? This
right.
Is,
yeah. So sometimes you can work
trying
those
to reach
out.
A mutual agreement
right.
from both sides. Yeah,
right.
So everybody feels whole.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So what do you think?
I don't think I did too well. Maybe 50%, maybe.
Yeah.
But you know,
some
it's indicative.
Some of them are tricky.
Yeah, some of them are tricky, and I guess it's indicative of how much we don't know about our rights.
Right. And you know what? Just to kind of show you, I did bring some like brochures that
uh-huh.
we have, and you know, there's a lot of information in these brochures.
Certainly, yeah.
The lemonade law, used vehicle warranty law.
Yep.
There's just so much information that you don't know.
Yeah.
Anything that anybody wants more information on, they can call me.
Okay.
And I can send them a brochure. They can call me. I can talk to them about any issues that they have. You don't have to file a complaint to deal with our office.
Just ask a question. Yeah.
I love when people call me
okay.
for information.
Okay.
And advice, and I have a lot of it. And
okay.
I can refer people places if I don't know the answer to the question.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anyone who's listening, really, if you have any kind of a consumer issue and you want someone to talk to, feel free to call Mass Park Consumer Action Center. We're in the office Monday through Friday. We answer the phones from 10 to 4.
781-335-0280.
That's right.
Is your phone number. MassPerg.org
mm-hmm.
website or 182 Green Street, Room 5, Weymouth.
Weymouth, Mass.
Which
North
is
Weymouth.
The Council on Aging?
It is the Council on okay. Aging Senior Center in Weymouth.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
Yep.
Jean, so much fun.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for taking the quiz.
Yeah, no, thanks for providing some information and schooling me to make us all better consumers. Great
Let's
to talk to you.
So,
please come
right.
back.
Thank you. I'd love to come back.
Good, good.
All right.
And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.